I'm going to have to work here a little bit. I'm kind of leaning to the left. So, anyway, it's good to be with you, and it's good to be family, isn't it? I mean, we can laugh and enjoy and sing together, pray together, and just enjoy our Lord together. So it's an awesome privilege. So let's just ask God to help us. Father, we're here, and we thank you for the privilege to be in this family. It is a wonderful thing to be in a family where we can care for each other, be loved by one another. We just pray, Father, that you'll help us as a family, help us grow and mature, and just protect us. Protect this family, Father. Guide it and guard it. May we each be a part of what you want to do. May we cooperate with you, grow more and more to be like the Lord Jesus. We just thank you that we have a wonderful Savior. And we thank you for the amazing grace that we have just sung about. It truly is amazing. Father, guide us right now, and we just pray that what we say and our thoughts would be pleasing to you. And just accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about... Thinking about privilege. For a moment, just think in your own mind, what is something that has occurred in your life or been a part of your life that has been a real privilege for you? Something that's been you think about, oh man, I'm so glad, so thankful. I'm sure there are a number of things we could say. And I'm sure a number of things that we would say, just even to be a part of, just as we pray, just as a part of this family, that's a privilege. That's a privilege to be a part of God's family. It truly is. I think of, and I've said this many times, but a privilege that I appreciate the older I get is just that I had Christian parents. It's just a privilege. And I know a lot of people haven't had that privilege, but that was just something God graciously allowed and gave, and I'll be thankful for that till the day that I'm go home to be with the Lord. And so that was something that I just really realized it was a blessing. There's a lot of things as I get older. Even at night, I often say to Marty, I say, "Boy, I'm so glad this house is warm." Yeah, just the privilege of being in a warm house, and. Just so many things that are truly, truly a blessing. The privilege of living in Canada. It is a privilege to live in such a country. It's a privilege of being in such a building like this, and where we have a place to come. And privilege, even we think of the screens up here, and I think of the people that have put those screens up there. I thank the Lord for those people. And I said this morning, but there were people working on this building on Saturday. What a privilege to have people that serve us, and you didn't even know they were here, right? Except I told you. But anyway, we have so many, many privileges and blessings. But I want to talk about tonight the awesome privilege of salvation. Now, we talked about salvation this morning, but the awesome privilege of salvation. What a privilege. And I just want to talk about this tremendous privilege, and I want to see it and highlight part of the way we know it's a privilege from others who reveal things about it that reveal to us what a privilege this is. And I want you to go back to our 1 Peter passage, and 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read three verses of... this first chapter, verse 10, 11, and 12. So, Peter has been talking about our salvation. Now, this is a little preview, I guess, when we think of the whole book. But he lays this concept of our salvation in this first chapter. And he talks about it from different vantage points. He talks about, you know, God's great mercy and being having a living hope after we're born again, and all these wonderful, wonderful things. He's talking about this privilege of salvation, but he's also preparing us for the difficulty of suffering. And but we need to know how awesome it is what we have, in order sometimes to go through the very tough things of life. And we all have them coming at us. Some of them we've already hit, some of them. And they seem to just sometimes, you know, some years you think, oh man, I'm glad that year's over, right? But we want to talk about why what God has done for us in his saving grace is so amazing. Why it is such a wonderful privilege. And I read these three verses, and initially you think, well, what is that about? But notice verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now we'll stop there. The tremendous privilege of our salvation is evident from the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And that's what, obviously, that group we start out with. As to this salvation, it's obvious that he's referring to this wonderful salvation. It has different phases, as we mentioned this morning. But especially this final phase is in view. And it takes us back to verse 5, and we talked about that. And I just read it. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, when we see it all, and transformation, we're totally transformed and we're glorified and we're with the Lord in the fullness of all that means. No sin, no sickness. Amazing, just amazing. That we're awaiting that. And so, he's talking about this. He says, "Who, as to this salvation, this future fulfillment of all that God has for his family, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you to make careful searches and inquiries." I quote one little statement by one commentator. Peter wanted to encourage his afflicted readers. They were afflicted. They were suffering. Remember, they were the outcast, the rejected. I thought of the passage that was read this morning at the breaking of bread. Remember the stone that was rejected. It was rejected. Well, the Lord Jesus was rejected, and his sons and daughters are rejected often in our culture. And so, these individuals, these believers that Peter writes to, he wanted to encourage his afflicted readers by demonstrating the importance and comprehensive grandeur of the salvation for which we were being afflicted. They were being afflicted, and we could, by application, by which we often may be afflicted. So he's trying to encourage them with this salvation. Now notice, this is a wonderful state. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. The prophets, they spoke, they predicted, they prophesied of this favor that was coming. I think of this statement, it reminded me of John. When the Lord Jesus came, grace and truth came in Christ. Grace. God's undeserved favor, all the implications of that, not just for initial salvation, for all the blessings, the benefits of his grace. Now, the ancient prophets, as they spoke, they did not fully understand everything that was coming. They knew something good was coming, but they didn't have the full picture. One thing, it's helpful for us to understand, just when we're thinking biblically and even theologically, Revelation, the Bible, the revelation of the Bible is given to us progressively. So what we see in Genesis, it gives the foundation for the Bible, but there's still a lot to be unveiled. So it's progressively unveiled. And so the prophets in the Old Testament, they gave forth truth that was foundational, but yet it didn't fill in all the blanks. It didn't fill in all the gaps. And so they were not quite sure how what this there was. They knew something awesome was coming, but they didn't have the full picture. They didn't have the full understanding of that. And in view of that, it says in verse 10 again that they made careful search. Now notice that the salvation, talk about the prophecy of the grace that would come to you, talking to those New Testament believers, made careful searches and inquiries. They searched intently with great care. One writes, "To search intently indicates an intensive search of investigation, one that considers a matter from every point of view." So really, really looking with the greatest care. And there's two words here. Indicates a search for something hidden, like miners are engaged in digging for precious metals in the core of the earth. The first term may picture an attitude of zealous consideration and reflection, and the second, a careful investigation of the sources that might provide an answer. And so the prophets, and he goes on to say, precisely where they turned in their search is not stated, but apparently they scrutinized earlier scripture as well as carefully re-examining their own prophecies. Careful searching, looking, you know, reading it. It's like when we're studying something in the Bible and we know there's something amazing there, but we know we don't fully got it. We don't fully understand it. And so we read it and then we read it and we ponder it and we think. Well, the prophets, they probably looked at previous scriptures that were given, and then God gave them their own truth. It's amazing, even though it shows the amazing work of the scriptures, that even what the prophets wrote, they probably didn't fully grasp everything that God gave them to say. And so they started searching. Now, my wife, she'll say to me, "Do you know where such and such is?" Well, code means, "Where did you put this?" You know? Okay. Now, there are things I know I put away in a safe place, but I do not know where that safe place is. I know that. I know it's safe, and someday my children will find it, right? But anyway, there are some things I'm still looking for. There's one thing I'm looking for, and this is important to me. There's an old cassette. No, not cassette tape, but a tape. And my parents, we interviewed my parents. And so there's some things they said. Obviously, it was shortly before we moved to Canada. And so we thought, well, you know, we ought to just sit down and interview them and talk about some things. I know it's in a safe place, but I don't know where that safe place is. So, searching. If you're searching for something and you keep searching for something and you keep searching for that and you keep looking for that, that means it's important. It's valuable. The prophets were searching to understand our salvation. This salvation, reflected by what the prophets, at least the glimmer that they had, they knew it was critical. It was of tremendous importance and tremendous privilege. An intense search. Now, as we read on, notice what it says in verse 11. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Okay, so they understood. They knew that there was a Messiah coming. But, and I know there's a little bit of difference in the way the translation is stated, but in seeking to know the person or time, and one, William MacDonald put it this way, they apparently did not understand the identity of the person who would appear as the Messiah, and number two, they didn't know the time of his appearance. Now, obviously, that would have been, you know, they knew the Messiah was coming, but there were a lot of details they didn't understand. And obviously, they didn't know the timing of that appearing. Now, one thing I find beautiful in this section, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. Interesting, the Spirit of Christ. When the Spirit gave the revelation, it went back, ultimately, it centers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ultimately wraps around Him. It's about Him. But also notice, it says these words. It says, in seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Now, that was a very hard concept for them. And it makes, in looking back, we can see why it would be very confusing. The Messiah suffered, but the Messiah was going to have glory. How does that fit? How does that fit? Like, suffering? Well, the Messiah, and of course, in the minds of most of the Jewish people in the time of Christ, you know, the Messiah was going to, he was going to reign, he was going to conquer the Romans, he was going to be the king right then. They could not grasp, what, you know, like when the Lord Jesus told Peter, he said, well, you know, I'm going to die, and then, of course, Peter didn't hear, I'm going to rise from the dead, but he says, no, may it never be, right? It doesn't make sense. You're supposed to be the king. Let's reign. But sufferings and glory. Now, it's interesting where it says, did you notice it says plural glories? Glories? They didn't understand that the Lord Jesus would die, although the prophet spoke of his death. And then the glories, not just the glory, and I think many commentators just say, well, the glory, we think of him when he's the King of Kings and he rules in the millennial kingdom, and of course that's part of the glory. But it seems to me in the context of the gospel, of the salvation, it would seem to imply that the glories that were achieved, Christ and his resurrection, and all the benefits of this wonderful salvation that is ours. All the glories, all the things that reflect his excellence in what he's accomplished and in his person. These wonderful, wonderful glories. And so when we think of these, no wonder they didn't grasp it. You know, by the way, it says to us, we are privileged people to live at such a time. We understand, you know, we have the whole Bible, and also God has given some very excellent teachers over the years, and so we have good books that help us, and so all these wonderful things, but they didn't have all this stuff that we have. And it talks about the Lord Jesus and his sufferings and his glory, and these prophets, they were scratching their heads trying to figure this out. It was revealed to them, and notice this is a very interesting verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things in which now have been announced to you. As one writes, as God's agents who made known the coming of the Messiah, the prophets were not serving themselves. They served the interest of others who at some unknown future time would benefit from their work. They were serving others. You know, it's interesting. God says, okay, you don't understand everything, but one thing I want you to know is that what you're doing now is going to benefit people in the future. Now I know this is just applicational. This is not the primary thing of this passage. But, you know, we need to remember that as we honor the Lord now, we are actually ministering to others we may never meet. I think sometimes of, again, talking about my parents, and here I look at my grandchildren. I look at my grandkids. Now, they never met my grandkids. But in the life they lived, they actually have blessed and ministered to my grandkids. Isn't that interesting? They won't know them, and hopefully my grandkids will go to heaven. But they didn't know them in this life. But they ministered to them. They ministered. And now it doesn't have to be family related, in the sense of blood. But as we are faithful to the Lord, you are ministering to other people coming behind you. You are. And so it kind of highlights the importance of doing what God wants us to do. But these prophets, they heard, and God said, you know what? You're ministering to other people. You're ministering to the future church. And they gave the wonder. They were used of God in this wonderful way to give revelation. How thankful we should be that the Old Testament prophets set forth revelation. Now, I've asked Don if he would read for us Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah gave this wonderful, wonderful section of Scripture. But he didn't fully understand every facet of it when it was given. So as we read it, just listen to the words. Now, we read it reflecting back because we know the end of the story, right? We know the end of the story. But they didn't know the whole end of the story or the details of the story. But think of the foundation Isaiah 53 lays for us in understanding. Think how Isaiah ministered to us. God using him to minister to us. Don, would you read Isaiah 53 for us, please?
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. What a wonderful privilege we have in our salvation. And the prophets reveal to us as they gave this amazing message. And all, can you imagine all the things they didn't understand just reading that section of Scripture that we know now as we look back? But the prophets looking into this great salvation, this amazing salvation, reminds us what a privilege it is that it's our salvation through faith in Christ. Now, also we're reminded what a privilege we have when we think of the Holy Spirit's part in getting us the gospel. And notice that's the next section we look at in the second part of verse 12. These things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Now, notice, preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven. We think of Pentecost, right? When the birthday of the church, the Spirit of God comes upon His church and does amazing things. And as one puts it, the Spirit of God was sent as God's precious gift to the church. What a wonderful privilege to have the Spirit of God. Again, what a wonderful thing to be in the New Testament church. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to have the Spirit of God come and then indwell. But notice what the Spirit of God, obviously the Spirit of God has more than one ministry, there's no doubt. But one of those ministries is to work in and through people to proclaim the gospel. Notice it says, by the Spirit. Again, I read these words. The good news, and this is a more modern translation, but it says this. This good news has been announced by those who preach to you in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. The message of salvation was so critical that God sent the Spirit of God to make sure the message got out. Doesn't that sound like a pretty big message? A pretty important thing that God sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit came to make sure this message got out. Now just think for a second. Who did the Spirit of God work through to get the message to you? Now just think. Who did God work in? What person, human being, did He work in to get the message to you? Now, some of you are probably just little ones, right? We've got these little ones running around Sunday school. What an important ministry, right? I know you pray for our Sunday school. We need to keep praying for our Sunday school. Because a lot of people that come to Christ in a church context come to Christ early, right? God wants to work through our Sunday school teachers by His Spirit to get this message to these little hearts. And think of camp. What a wonderful thing. Isn't it wonderful to have Hope Valley so close? That's another privilege we have, by the way. Don't ever forget that. Pray for the camp. And I know many of you just pour your heart into that camp. This is wonderful. But God in the Spirit indwells believers to get the gospel out to those campers. And we've said this often, and I know we've talked about this, but you think there are some kids that the only time they hear the gospel is when they get taken out by a bus and they get dropped off so their parents can have a day of peace and quiet, and they get the gospel. The Spirit of God is working through. But doesn't that say how important this message is? For the Spirit of God to work, let's say, through a teenager who knows the Lord, to work through a teenager and get the gospel out to this younger person. Isn't that a cool thing? Cool doesn't encompass it. It's awesome. So don't you think that's a pretty important message? The Spirit of God working. Now, I just want to just thank the Lord that someone worked through to get to you. God worked through someone. Anybody want to share a person that got their gospel to you, that Spirit of God worked through to get the gospel? Anybody? You don't have to, I know. Don? thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, right, for David Kirk from Ireland. Anybody else? Isn't it neat how the Lord uses more than one person oftentimes? Very good. Thank you, Terry. Anybody else? I'm sorry? Okay. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? God worked, Spirit of God worked through to get the message. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, obviously I had several different people, but one of the ones that stands out is a man named Don Roberts. He's now with the Lord, and he had a passion. He did everything on high speed, but he shared the gospel, and you know, that was a major part of God bringing me to the Lord. So the Spirit of God works through. Now, what I think we probably all have a burden in some measure, and I think this is appropriate in this, what I would like us to do is to pray that God will work through us to get the gospel out. That God, that, you know, doesn't it scare you to death? If I said, okay, we're going to go down, right now we're all going to leave here and we're going to go share the gospel in the street, right? You think, oh, it's too cold, right? No, and God uses different methods and different ways. we're not going out right now. But for us to be effective as a person individually and as a church corporately, the Spirit of God has to work in and through us. Now think for a second, the person that you, the Lord has tapped you on the shoulder, and there's a person right now that you really would like to share the gospel with, or share something about the gospel, or share, you know, nudge them toward the Lord in some way. Think about that person. To really be effective in doing that, the Spirit of God's going to have to empower you to do that. It may be writing a note, it may be a phone call, it may be knocking on the door in their house. I drove right past one of the houses that we've been praying for their salvation. And I'm hoping I'll get another opportunity in the near future to talk to him about the Lord. But what I asked Terry if he'd pray for us on this, that God would just empower us by his Spirit to share the gospel. We want to see people come to Christ. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. People are coming to Christ through Hope Valley. It's probably one of our most effective means right now for evangelism. But we also want to see other means of evangelism. And so, Terry, would you just ask the Lord to empower us more to share the gospel with those that God wants us to share with, okay? Thank you. Now let's look at this last area. We have such a tremendous privilege in our salvation. It's obvious through the Old Testament prophets. It's obvious by the Spirit of God indwelling us. And it's also obvious and evident by the angels. Notice that last little phrase in verse 12. Now this is something, it's almost an afterthought, it seems. But notice it talks about this salvation. And it says, things... And this is the very last line, things into which angels long to look. Things which angels long to look. Now there's two words you can see there. They long, and one denotes a strong interest or craving. So they long for something. You know, if some of you I know love chocolate, right? No, the sign on the refrigerator in some houses is, give me the chocolate and no one gets hurt, right? You have one of those? Okay, so a longing, right? And we all have those things that we enjoy and long for. But interesting, angels have a craving to understand about the gospel and salvation. And they long to look. Now, it's interesting. They long to look. One writes this, to look into, the verb literally means to bend over or forward, to examine more closely. Now, I'm sure some of you appreciate this. If you're young, you think, oh, that's dumb. As I'm getting older, do you ever get one of those, take this pill and you'll live longer, but you can't read how many you're supposed to take? You know, like, I looked at this one thing the other day and I thought, I'm going to die before I know what this says, right? And so, magnifying glass, if you're not there yet, just be thankful, but I'll loan you mine when you do. Anyway, I'm looking at this pill bottle and I'm thinking, oh, that's what it says. Don't take five, take two. Right? When I put this thing out, I'm looking over, trying to focus in, trying to think, oh, okay, what am I supposed to do here? The angels, kind of like taking a magnifying glass, they long and they're looking. They're really trying to figure this out. It's very important to them. Why? Because it's very important. And I just think, do you think the angels care that much about who wins the Stanley Cup? You think, oh man, who's going to get there? Who's going to win? You know? Right? Think of all the things we long to see and angels don't care a thing about. Right? They're thinking, they're crazy. Here they're all caught up in whatever. And you can watch, I don't mind you watching the Stanley Cup, but all caught up in this. But they're not paying any attention to this. The angels must be scratching their heads. Say, don't you think what the angels are interested in, we should be interested in? If they long to look, don't you think we should long to look? Long to really figure out what God's saying, what salvation is all about, what God wants to do in our life. And the angels, they long to look. One writes, the immense privilege of believers in this age is seen not only in that they understand clearly what was veiled from the prophets, but also the fact that the angels desire to look into these truths of salvation. They are in awe and wonder of what it's about. You see, our salvation is a tremendous privilege. It's a tremendous privilege. And I do think, Satan is the liar. We know that. But isn't it amazing how in our culture the gospel has been written off? Isn't it just amazing? Salvation. Oh, I mean, you can tell. Think of how many people are not here. Isn't it amazing? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. Of course, they're not feeling guilty anyway. But just think of all the empty space. That's a statement about our community. About our city, about our country. That people are not, it doesn't matter. We're watching the tube. Now, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip, but the point is, those who are glued to the tube are not learning too much about the gospel, about the salvation. And God says, pay attention to what's really important. Pay attention to what's really important. And God has given us, and the angels indicate to us what is significant. Now, what I would like to do, and just as we close tonight, I want to go back to the very early part of this chapter, and we've read it, but now I want to do it. Go back to verse 3. And we said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And as I've given you this, I think this is just a simpler way to say it. Praise be to God, be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, blessed be God and Father. Praise be to God and Father. You know what I thought would be the most appropriate way for us to conclude our time tonight? Is just spend a few minutes praising the Lord God for His great mercy, and that we have been born again to a living hope, and we have a salvation that is awesome ahead of us. Don't you think it might be appropriate to apply this passage just by praising the Lord? Just by praising Him. Now let's just let's just take a few moments, and let's just first, maybe just a few seconds, and we each in our own personal heart just thank the Lord, praising Him for this great salvation. And then if several of the guys would just lead us in praise, just praise for our salvation. So let's just take a few moments. First, just quiet, just a few seconds, 15 seconds of our own praise, and then a few of the guys that they would lead us, and then I'll close as we finish off, okay? Let's pray right now. God and Father. We thank you so much for sending your Son. And the Son of God willingly coming to pay for our sin. We thank you for your great mercy. We thank you for a love that is truly beyond comprehension. A grace that is really amazing. A salvation that is awesome and eternal. And a hope that can carry us through whatever we face. So tonight we just corporately lift up our hearts in praise and adoration and exaltation for who you are and what you have done and what you have given in our salvation. And it is in the name of the Lord Jesus that we pray these things.